Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Forklift System Sports Saturday. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach. Coach still out of town. He will be back next Saturday. And glad to be here. Beautiful Saturday morning. Thanks for being with us for the next 2 hours. We've got the regular cast of characters that will join us today. Guest Tony Barnhart will be the first hour and beginning of the second. Charles Davis will be joining us. Alan Cockrell will be with us in the second hour to talk SEC baseball. And then to end up the final hour, we'll have Ryan Callahan of Go Vols 247. He'll be talking SEC recruiting with us. In my opinion, Ryan is as good as it gets. Very detailed and always has some great information for us. So some highlights that happened this week that kind of stood out. Florida is banking on new defensive coordinator Todd Grantham in a big way, and they're showing it in his financial package. $4.47 million over 3 years. He will get $1.39 million this year, $1.49 million next year, and then $1.59 million the year following that. That's making him the highest paid assistant in school history at the University of Florida. 15 assistants made $1 million or more in 2017 in college football. Nine of them were in the SEC. Nine of the 15 were in the SEC. I believe Dave Aranda is still the highest paid assistant with over $2 million a year, I believe $2.5 million at LSU. To kind of put this into perspective, Bama's two new coordinators are going to make $1.2 million for the offense coordinator, $1.1 million for the defensive coordinator. So Florida putting a lot of faith in Todd Grantham and really need to get that defense going back the way it was earlier. Another kind of to compare it to Jeremy Pruitt, his last contract at Alabama, it was a 3-year contract for $4.2 million when he was the defense coordinator at Alabama. And obviously he was a defensive coordinator of a national championship team after leaving Florida State, going to Georgia, and then going to Alabama. So Florida, Todd Grantham, we'll see what we have. Five more former Ole Miss Pack players were given waivers to play immediately with their new schools on Thursday, along with Shea Patterson. That makes six now because of the postseason restrictions that Ole Miss has now. So that's six that have been cleared to play at their new schools this year. They won't have to sit out. Van Jefferson, many of you remember him from his Ravenwood days. He is at Florida, went through spring practice, apparently had a great spring practice, but he's still awaiting word. So we'll see where that ends up. Sports Illustrated, SI.com, released their post spring top 25 for next year. Here's the top 10. Not a whole lot of surprises, but Alabama number one, Clemson number two, Ohio State number three, four is Washington, five Wisconsin, six Miami, seven Oklahoma, eight Georgia. That one kind of surprised me. They're that low. Number nine TCU, 10 Michigan State, and then the rest of the top 25. A couple that not normally there. Number 14 UCF. So I guess the voters are thinking they're going to have another good year next year, even with losing Coach Scott Frost. And 24, the regular host of this show is good buddy Kiffin, the Florida Atlantic, coming in at 24. So another story that kind of stood out to me, former USC assistant Todd McNair. Many of you remember him. He was involved in the Reggie Bush, allegations and infractions when he was at USC. He is obviously in a lawsuit with NCAA. His lawyers are now asking for $27 million in defamation against the NCAA. Again, he was involved in the Reggie Bush investigation. So $27 million. NCAA usually doesn't get beat. So it'll be interesting to see where that comes out. I know a lot of people are really watching this closely. Lastly, Jim Harbaugh making headlines again off the field, trying to find ways to compensate players in some sort or form of deferred compensation. They did the reality show last year And so, anyways, if you read the story, it's pretty interesting. He's always, you know, pushing the line, pushing the envelope, but looking for a way. Maybe if they were to do another reality show, maybe they could get Amazon stock. I believe the reality show was on Amazon. But anyways, always making headlines off the field, and he's interesting. He keeps it. This time of year, he keeps it interesting, always has stories for him. So that's kind of the highlights. Tony Barnhart will be next. But before we go, we've got good friend of the show, Mr. Doug Markham of the TWRA. Mr. Markham, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, my son, my oldest, is somewhere. I hope he's got the headphones on listening. He probably doesn't, but he's somewhere trying to catch him a turkey today. Turkey hunting's big right now.
It is. Coming to an end, unfortunately. This is a last weekend for him, but it should be a great day to get out today and tomorrow. So good luck to him.
Is there a perf? I don't know. You'll have to excuse me. What is the perfect weather for turkey hunting? Hopefully
perfect
it's this.
Perfect weather for hunting. Well, you know, today is just beautiful. Just a good morning, maybe a little chill in it, but not too much. Wind not blowing much, so you can hear the birds and they can hear you, and no rain. Just today was about as perfect as it can get early. It's going to get hot later in the day, but this morning was just a great morning.
Well, in this time of year with the sun out like it is today and next week, I'm sure a bunch of people are going to be busting or breaking the boats out for the first time. You know, boater safety, you talk about it a lot, and there's a good reason why you need to. It's easy to do, so make sure you do it.
Well, it's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up. We always want to be positive and say great things about the water because there's great things to say. But we have had already this year in Middle Tennessee three accidents that led to fatalities, and two of them were not wearing their life jackets. And one of the things we always got to remember is rivers like the Caney Fork River, the Red River, all these rivers that seem like they're gentle and not up. When they get up a little bit, they're dangerous. And we have some folks that decided to go kayaking or canoeing on no life jackets on, and they lost their lives out having a good time. So it's a good point to make. If you follow the rules, you're going to be all right almost all the time. But just put a life jacket on.
That's right. It's kind of like a seatbelt. It needs to become second nature.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
Well, anything else going on right now? Fishing, I know, is always big. But, maybe the crappie came out a little late this year. But from what I hear, they're biting now.
They are. I was on Old Hickory the other day actually trying to catch shellcracker and bluegill. It's a good time to catch them. And we were catching crappie. They were getting in their way, which is a good problem to have. But the bite's real good on all our lakes. The bass bite's still real good on Percy Priest. They're still catching crappie on both lakes, Old Hickory and Percy Priest. And of course, the bluegill and what we call shellcracker or red-eared sunfish. This is their time of year, and they're really fun. So there's plenty to do right now.
If you ever want to be entertained, get Dad up there and take him fish and put him on a bait caster, and I promise you it'll be worth the entertainment.
I would love to see that. I would really like to see that.
Have a great day, sir.
You too. Thank you.
Doug Markham of the TWRA. Up next, Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart will join us right here on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-Ten Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-Ten Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-Ten Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
Years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
Locally owned for over 20 years, Franklin American Mortgage Company has grown from humble roots to become one of the largest mortgage lenders in the nation. But they've never gotten too big to give back to the communities that have given them so much. They're proud to support numerous national and regional charities, as well as youth, collegiate, and professional sports in the Nashville area. Their values aren't only in their great rates and unparalleled service, they're in everything they do. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1599.
Now, Forkless System Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Strouds Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Strouds location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Welcome back to Forkless System Sports Saturday. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach. But Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, is with us as always. Tony, brought to you by Stroud's Barbecue. You're just a pooch punt away from a Stroud store in Tennessee Steel Haulers, TENH.com. Mr. Barnhart, good morning.
Good morning, Tate. How's it going?
Going well, buddy. The weather could not be any better today. It's going to be the same tomorrow for Mother's Day, so very excited. How about you?
We're doing great. It's going to get up to around 90 today. That's a little warm for those of us in the Barnhart household. But, yeah, we've got a big crowd coming over to celebrate Mother's Day. My mom lives in Madison, Georgia, which is about an hour east of here on the way to Augusta. She's 85 years old and still going strong, so we look forward to having her here.
Yeah, that's always fun, man. Special day. We're all blessed. The mamas, man, they are – we're lucky to have them because they make sure everything runs smooth. I know at least in our house it does.
That's that was – listen, my mother had two boys and me and my brother David, and she said one thing she told us. She said, I'm going to teach you how to cook and clean. One, because I don't want to do all the cooking and cleaning. That's number one. Number two, I'm just not convinced that either one of you are going to find a woman who will put up with you, so you need to know how to do these things. So
that's good. I like it. Well, let's talk. Let's kind of get around the news, and then we'll get to your spring tour. But Joe Burrow, former Ohio State quarterback, is announcing that, well, he's going to be former, is announcing that he's leaving the Buckeyes as a graduate transfer. He's going to have a lot of suitors.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the thing now, Tate. I mean, you get, if you are a graduate transfer quarterback, you know, that you have a lot of people who ask, because everybody either needs a quarterback or needs a backup quarterback. And this kid was a four-star player coming out of high school, but he just happened to be behind Braxton Miller for 3 years, and really had lost lost the job at Ohio State. There's three quarterbacks there, and he's, you know, to his credit, he graduated in just 3 years, and I think he's got two left to play because he took a red shirt. So I think if this guy is as good as everybody thinks he is or says he is, then he's going to contribute somewhere, maybe not as a starter, but as a very talented backup.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, like you mentioned, he threw for over 4,000 yards as a senior. He graduated, so he can obviously throw. He graduated in 3 years. He's obviously smart. So I know LSU and Cincinnati are a couple of schools that he will be visiting. I know one that you say Florida's coach Dan Mullen says he does not plan to recruit another quarterback, but I don't know why they wouldn't want him down there. So the LSU, what do you what does that say to you that he's going to be visiting them?
Well, I was there 3 weeks ago and spent some time. I was there for pro day and spent some time with Coach Orgeron. And, you know, he said all the right things about his three quarterbacks, you know, and they're still young. I mean, Miles Brennan and Noel Narcisse are redshirt sophomores, I believe. Justin McMillan is a kid who can do a lot of different things, and people were telling me he might be the guy. But none of them are really setting the world on fire, and they really need better play at the quarterback position because, you know, I don't know that they've got another Darius Geis there, and I don't know that they have all the talent they need at wide receiver. They've always got talent at wide receiver, but somebody's got to get them the ball. So I think there's an internal debate on whether or not to go with Joe Burrow if he decides to come. How much do you disrupt the quarterback room? I mean, to me, that's something Coach Matthews and I have talked about, is that, you know, when you know, if those guys are tight, you inject another guy in there, how do they respond? Is it good? Is it bad? Sometimes it doesn't matter if the other guys think, hey, this guy can help us win. But it does not come without risk. And we'll see what the young man Burrow decides.
I think with him having 2 years, though, that makes him more attractive too, right? You know, it's just not going to be when you're doing.
Yeah.
What is it about, you know, there's Ogeron's the head coach now, so a coaching change. But why does it just seem to be so hard for LSU is so good at every other position? Why has quarterback been such a struggle for them? I mean, they're not awful, but, you know, not like the other positions where they have top notch.
It's baffling, and when you talk to the people in Baton Rouge, it's baffling to them. I mean, go back and look at it. You really go all the way back to 2007 when they won the national championship with Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn was not a great quarterback, but he was a really good game manager and did all the right things and just incredibly, incredibly smart. And since then, really, the only exception has been Zach Mettenberger. And Mettenberger started at Georgia, went to a JUCO, and then transferred to LSU and did well. He was a very good quarterback for them. But other than that, it's just been, you know, Danny Etling, who got beat out at Purdue, was their starting quarterback for 2 years, Tate. And he had moments, but he wasn't going to go out and win a game by himself. And it just, you know, particularly when the LSU fans look around and, you know, Georgia's got two great quarterbacks now, with Justin Fields and Jake Fromm. Alabama, you know, has got two incredible quarterbacks who could start for anybody in the country. He said, why all these schools have two great ones and we don't have one? And the only answer is, guess what? You had not been able to recruit one.
Or you misevaluated one, right? So, well, it's going to be fun to watch. We'll start with them, LSU, but talking about your spring tour. All of your columns are on tmgcollegesports.com, and you put up your visits to LSU and Georgia. So starting there, you mentioned about the quarterback situation. You feel like there's a little bit of heat on Ed Ogeron, and they always play a tough schedule anyways. But this year, they have Miami, Georgia, Alabama, and Auburn. That's a tough schedule.
That is a very, very tough schedule. And that just, to me, Tate, LSU is the most intriguing story, particularly in the SEC and maybe in all of college football. I mean, think about all the drama that happened last year with them. I mean, they hire a new offensive coordinator in Matt Canada, who was at Pitt and did incredible things. And Ed Orgeron made a big deal that when he got the job, he made a big deal of saying, I'm going to hire great coordinators and let them do their job. Well, guess what? Two games into the Matt Canada regime, the head coach says, you know what? You're doing too many shifts and too many formations and too many things. And the point there was and Matt Canada, I'm paraphrasing now, Matt Canada saying, hey, that's why you hired me. That's what we do. That's the essence of the offense, is to do all these shifting and moving to keep the defense from digging their cleats in the dirt. And it got to the point where it got so bad that the athletic director had to meet with both men saying, hey, what is going on here? So there's drama there. There's the drama of losing to Troy. Then all of a sudden, five games into the season, the media scrambling saying, now what is Ed Orgeron's buyout? I mean, he's five games into his first full season as head coach. So anyway, with all that drama, they part ways with Matt Canada, and now they elevate Steve Ensminger back to that position. And so now there is tremendous pressure on. And so what's going to happen? And here's the other thing, and this is something that Orgeron brought up to me and a couple other people mentioned to me. This recruiting class, and I'm far from an expert in recruiting, but the people who are smarter than me tell me that this recruiting class in the state of Louisiana is the best one they've seen probably in a generation, 15 to 20 years, okay? Ed Orgeron mentioned that to me. So what that told me was if they can get the lion's share of those great recruits in state, then Ed Orgeron, regardless of the record, as long as it's not a disaster, probably holds on and gets another year. But to me, that's going to be a big key because the schedule, as you just mentioned, not mentioned, Tate, the schedule tells you this is not a 10-win football team.
Going to be tough. And, of course, you have the rest of your SEC West opponents, too. And it's, you know, they're not tough. And I'm assuming they'll have to either go to Mississippi State or A&M, one of them on the road, which is never good. Well, and then, but to hear, this is what's always intriguing about LSU. To hear you talk, the last couple minutes, you'd think they went 3-7, 4-8, whatever, right? They went 9-4 and really were a couple of plays away from having a 10-11 win season.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, they hit rock. What's amazing is they hit rock bottom in the loss to Louisiana Monroe. Troy, I mean. They hit rock bottom there, and the next week they go to Florida and win 17-16. Then they play Auburn, a top-10 team, fall behind 20-0, come back and win. It was just once the Troy game was over, and I talked to Ed Orgeron, and he met with the leaders on his team saying, man, we got to do something here. After the Troy game, they did not lose a regular season game except for they played at Alabama, ranked number one. That was the only regular season game they lost until they got to the bowl game against Notre Dame, and they should have won that game because they were sitting down there at fourth and inches and elected to kick a field goal and got beat by Notre Dame. So, yeah, the way people talk, you would have thought they went 6-6, and they were really close to being 11-2.
Tony, he's got to be, Orgeron, that is, he has to be one of your favorite interviews on the tour. I mean, he's entertaining, right, and personable. I mean, you've got to love that time you spend with him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just when you sit down with him, he is very, very candid. I brought up the whole Matt Canada, Steve Ensminger thing, and I said, you are obviously very comfortable with Steve Ensminger. And most coaches would say, well, yeah, I am. But he said, he took it a step further, said, yeah, I trust him. And I went, okay, there you go. You've just given me some insight as to what's going on. But he is, he told me the first time when we sat down last year, he told me, he says, you know, when I didn't get the USC job after being 6-2 as the interim head coach, it was the lowest point of my life, and my wife had to snap me out of it. And so he's very, very candid. And, you know, with Coach O, what you see is what you get. Okay. I mean, he is who he is. And the fans love him for that. But to me, it's really interesting that now all of a sudden there is some pressure there, because when he got the job, that was the guy. If they couldn't get Jimbo Fisher, that's the guy they wanted to get the job. And then when he got the job, they loved him. And now, you know, some aren't so sure.
I would love to be in a room on a visit or an in-home visit. I was talking to a family here, and they said that he's talking to the young man and the player. His parents are in there, and he says, let me ask you something, son. Your daddy ever call you a so-and-so? And it was very obvious he had a response to either way the young man said it. And he said, the kid said, no, sir. And he said, well, we don't either, but don't take us for soft down here if you come. And, he must be amazing in the recruiting room.
Well, you know what, Tate, since you brought a recruit, there's a little bit of an irony to that. He's known as one of the best recruiters in the country. But guess what? When you become the head coach, you can't go out and recruit in May. You can't go out and see the juniors in May. If they come to campus for a spring visit, you can see them. But that, ironically, his ability as a recruiter got him the job, but the fact that he has the job means he gets to recruit less.
Well, Tony, we're going to go to Georgia next. I want to make sure we have plenty of time. So let's go to break a little bit early, and we'll come back. We'll talk about your visit to Georgia, okay?
Sounds good.
We'll be right back with Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, right here on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday on 104.5 The Zone.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
I know how much energy you burn during a game, so right after the game, you need to refuel at your nearby Rafferty's. Rafferty's is the place to head for an after-game huddle with your crowd. It's where football fans are welcome for lunch or dinner, serve fresh, serve fast, serve friendly. Rafferty's menu is jam-packed with all your favorites. Steaks, prime rib, chicken, ribs, all delicious dishes in a generous size that can satisfy the appetite you've worked up. How about lunch before the game? Rafferty's again, with locations across Tennessee.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the 3 area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
Hey, this is Larry Thorne with Global Motorsports here in Middle Tennessee. I had a guy in the store the other day buying a car who's bought multiples of cars from us. He said, I'd never buy a car anywhere else, Larry. Nowhere can I go buy a car, be taken care of by one person, be in and out of the store in under 20 minutes once I make a decision. You're the dealership for those of us who don't like dealerships. Appreciate you guys being here. I can't imagine shopping anywhere else. With that, I would just say, check us out at Global Motorsports, Inc., or our 2 boutiques, one in Belmead and one in Cool Spring. Again, online at globalmotorsportsinc.com.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Strouds Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Strouds location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
We're back with Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Tony, always brought to you by Stroud's Barbecue. You're just a pooch punt away from a Stroud store in Tennessee Steel Haulers, TENH.com, hauling freight all over the Southeast. Tony, your tour also took you to Georgia last week. And again, you can read about any of your tour columns on TMGCollegeSports.com. But the Bulldogs had 3 first-round draft choices. Some don't have 3 in 20 years. 3 in the same year. That's a lot of talent to lose for the Bulldogs.
It is. And, you know, I've told all my Georgia friends who are excited, obviously, they weren't happy the way the national championship game ended, but they said, we're going to come back and do it again. And I said, hold, let's tap the brakes a little bit. I mean, Georgia's going to be another good team this year. I mean, yes, they lose. They lose a lot of talent. Nick Chubb, Sony Michel. Oh, by the way, think about this, Tate. The University of Georgia has had 1 or 2 good running backs in the history of the school. The number one back in the history of school was some guy named Walker, who, as I recall, was pretty good.
He was pretty good.
The number 2 and the number 3 running backs in the history of the University of Georgia played on last year's team, Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. That's unheard of, and that's one of the things that Kirby Smart said. That both of those guys came back with their senior years, which running backs rarely do because of the wear and tear on running backs. So that's number one. Those are generational type players. Roquan Smith is one of the best two or three inside linebackers Georgia has ever had, and everybody will tell you that. So the point is, they're still going to be the team to pick to win the SEC East, and I would anticipate they'd win the SEC East. They got to play South Carolina, the second game of the season, at Columbia. If they win that one, I think they'll win the East for sure. But if what I try, let me put it this way. If the 2017 team played the 2018 Georgia team, the 2017 team would win. Georgia, I can't be as good because of what they lost. But the good news is they're going to replace them, those great players, with very, very talented players. Young, but very, very talented. So I'm thinking 2019, if I'm a Georgia fan, 2019 is the year I'm looking for. And this is a year to see, can you handle the success from a year ago? But Georgia's still going to be pretty good.
You mentioned Roquan Smith. I saw an article about, top players to emerge from the spring, and they were pretty high on the list, was Monty Rice. He apparently had a great G-Day, and I guess they're kind of looking to him to maybe fill the role of Roquan.
Yep, and there's a lot of guys who certainly can help them. They'll have more depth, and because they put together three really good recruiting classes, two really potentially great ones under Kirby Smart. So I think they're going to be fine. And the other thing about Georgia, Tate, is you sit there and look at their schedule, and it is manageable. I mean, there's not a Notre Dame on the schedule this year. Notre Dame comes to Athens in 2019. Again, I mentioned the trip to Columbia to play South Carolina the second week of the season. That's a good time to play Georgia. I've been to Columbia a couple of times, and trust me when I tell you, they're looking forward to Georgia coming to visit. But you look at the rest of their schedule. They get Tennessee and Athens. They get Vanderbilt and Athens. Got to go to LSU, but I think they've got more players. Florida's got work to do. Kentucky's going to be okay. Auburn, they get Auburn in Athens this year. And so I just think the schedule sets up very nicely for them.
For those listening, Middle Tennessee goes there too, right? They go to Athens this year, I think.
Tennessee goes there the third week. They open with Austin Peay. What they did is they took the South Carolina game on the 8th and put Austin Peay on one side and Middle Tennessee on the other. So that was a pretty good piece of scheduling there. And then they go to Missouri. I think they'll have too many athletes for there. Tennessee and Athens, I think they're okay there. Vanderbilt and Athens. There's no guarantee, but if they beat South Carolina on the 8th, they're in pretty good shape to win the East, in my opinion.
It's kind of like Ohio State. When you go to one of these top schools and you play quarterback, Alabama, you mentioned earlier, there's a good chance you're going to have tough competition, and it's crazy to hear, but, just like Alabama, you've got Jake Fromm. He leads them to a national championship as a freshman. And here he is in spring. He's being challenged by Justin Fields, who was rated as the number one quarterback prospect in the country. Interesting. Fromm is in he's fighting for his job.
Yeah. when I sat down with Kirby Smart, he said, yeah, we're going to let it compete, see what the production is, and we'll evaluate. Now look, I've talked to enough people. I think the reality is this. Jake Fromm has started 14 college football games. He's won at Notre Dame. He's won the Rose Bowl. He came within one play of winning the national championship, okay? He's got for 1 year, he got a lot of experience in that 1 year. Because remember, he took over in the first game from Jacob Eason. Eason tweaks his knee all of a sudden. Fromm's in there, and guess what? He ain't giving it back. And Kirby Smart's point to me was, look, because Jake got to play, he got better in a hurry. And he says, as a result, we as a team got better in a hurry. And so I don't think, as talented as Justin Fields is, and as you said, he was the number one. It was either him or the kid that went, Trevor Lawrence, the kid that went to Clemson. It was either him was number one or Lawrence was number one. But you know, nothing takes the place of experience. So the question is, how will Georgia use Justin Fields? And that, to me, that's the big question. Do they get him on the field? Are they going to hold him until they have to put him on the field? That's going to be one of the most interesting stories leading into the season.
Yeah, it will be. And they open with Austin Peay, so you know more than likely Fromm is not going to be playing the whole game. So it will. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him. Well, let's talk a little bit.
I'll share this with you. I sat down with Kirby Smart, and I said, look, one of the opinions out there, and I kind of thought about this, is you remember when Tim Tebow was the freshman, Chris Leak was the starting quarterback at Florida in 06. Well, Tim Tebow comes in and said, what are we going to do with this guy? I mean, he is an exceptional talent. And so they put together that first year, you'll recall, a package of plays, called it a Tebow package. Any kind of goal line, short yardage kind of situation, they put him in there, and he would, 90% of the time, he'd get the first down. And I asked Kirby Smart, I said, are you going to come up with a package of plays for this kid who obviously is a great dual threat quarterback? And he says, no, I don't. He said, I don't see us doing that. We're going to evaluate him and play him. But if I put him out there just to put him out there and run the risk of injury, I got two quarterbacks. Now I'm down to one, and I just don't see us. And he emphasized, because I asked him again, and he said, no, we're not going to do that. So what will they do? And I think you hit on it. When they play Austin Peay and they're up by a bunch, what do they do at the quarterback position? That's something we don't know yet.
Yep. My guess is they're going to have to play him, get him ready. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence. He was from Georgia too, right?
Cartersville, Georgia.
So
it's about 45 minutes north of Atlanta on I-75.
And Justin Fields was from Kennesaw. I mean, the talent in Georgia, I never saw Fields. I saw they were one Friday night. Cartersville was on, I don't know, Sports South or ESPN2, whatever. Did Georgia try to get Trevor Lawrence? And then when it was obvious he was going to Clemson, that's when they went to Fields, or was Fields their guy all along?
No, Fields was their guy all along, and Trevor Lawrence made his commitment to Clemson like 2 years out.
Gotcha.
There was when Trevor Lawrence saw what they were doing with Deshaun Watson, he was sold. Okay, and so I don't think Trevor Lawrence was ever an option for Georgia because he was going to Clemson from day one.
He is going to be something. I saw a little bit of him on the spring game. It's going to be hard to keep him off the field very long, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gonna be. And people forget at Clemson, Kelly Bryant had a really good year. They get to the playoffs, okay, with Kelly Bryant as quarterback, and now this guy is all of a sudden in the competition.
Some other notes: Alabama reserve center Brandon Kennedy wants to leave as a graduate transfer. He wants to either go to Tennessee or Auburn. Auburn is blocking him. I think you think Alabama's on the wrong side of this argument, don't you?
Not going to win. Where we are right now, everybody's saying, you know what, when they're talking about what can we do to enhance the players' experience, their freedom, their ability to make money, you know, that's being kicked around. This idea that a school, particularly when a guy has a degree, that a school could control where he goes to college next. You know, you can make all the rules you want. I'm telling you, if Brandon Kennedy and his family pursue it, they will certainly appeal it to the SEC office. But if Brandon Kennedy and his family want to pursue this thing, they will ultimately prevail. Because same thing happened with Maurice Smith, who he wanted to transfer to Georgia. He got blocked there. They made a big stink about it, and Alabama got beat up in the press pretty good. And when all was said and done, they, as they say, Alabama and the SEC mutually agreed that young Mr. Smith would go to Georgia. Same thing will happen here if his family chooses to pursue it.
Don't you think? And what makes it easy is the part about if you graduate. I mean, that's where they can make the rule. If you're a graduate, you can go wherever you want to. And I think you've earned that.
Yeah. That, I agree. If you're a graduate, you've earned the right to transfer and play immediately. You've also earned the right to go wherever you want to go. I think you need to incentivize this idea. If these guys can get their degrees early, more power to them. And I think, I mean, let's face it, Tate. I mean, the transfer rules, 90% of all the transfer rules favor the schools. All right. It's about protecting the schools. And only this narrow sliver of a transfer rules benefits the student athlete. So, and I think as time, I predict as time goes on, there will come a time when schools will never be able to block where a guy transfers. Now, they can still impose sitting out a year if you haven't graduated, but schools will not be able to block where you want to go to school. That issue would not stand up in a court of law if you wanted to pursue it.
No. And the way coaches change, too, I mean, it shouldn't be that way. So, Phil Savage, analyst for the Alabama.
Well, and that's the thing.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, yeah, it's just we've done it this way so long. And I know, you know what, if I was a coach, I'd probably feel the same way. You know, we've invested 3 years into this guy and he leaves. Well, yeah, but he also invested 3 years with you. And in this case, the guy got his degree. And so I just think where we are at this point in time when it comes to athletes and their rights and their ability to take advantage of do what is best for them, I don't see these kind of rules standing up over the course of time.
Tony is a Tennessee fan. You mentioned that's one of the places he's looking at. Is he a good player? Obviously, Alabama wouldn't have signed him if he wasn't a good player. But is he a good player, someone who could come in and impact Tennessee immediately?
Yeah, I think anybody who's playing backup center for Alabama is a really good player. Because if you look at Nick Saban's track record, he has almost always had a three-year or four-year player at center who was really, really good. And so, you know, I haven't looked in any tape lately, but if he's playing back, if Brandon Kennedy's the backup center at Alabama, I'll bet you he's really good.
Fair enough. I can live with that. Speaking of transfers, when we come back, we'll talk about the Ole Miss transfers. Five more were granted their waivers this week, obviously with Shea Patterson. So we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Mr. Tony Barnhart will be back with us when we get back right here on 104.5 The Zone.
Okay, honey, sit down. I have something to say.
Oh, do I have a choice?
Yes, please, have a seat.
Can I sit in the living room?
Of course.
Or how about the porch?
Can you just sit right here, please?
I thought I had a choice. Hey, you said I had a choice.
Oh, boy.
At Farm Bureau Health Plans, you have choices with lots of plans for families and individuals with different levels of coverage, deductibles, and co-payments. We've got you covered. Go to fbhealthplans.com or visit your local Farm Bureau office.
Cosmetic dentistry, restorative dentistry, as specialized areas in dentistry as it gets. For over a decade and a half, Dr. Clint Newman has specialized in these two areas in Middle Tennessee. Located in Green Hills, online at clintnewmandds.com, Dr. Newman's vast experience coupled with his artistic eye has provided his highly valued patients incredible results. Check him out at clintnewmandds.com. Restorative dentistry, cosmetic dentistry.
I love my community. And as a doting dad,
Daddy's home.
A devoted son.
There you are, Joe.
And a good neighbor.
Hey, man.
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Serious injury is serious business, and nobody takes it more seriously than Cody Allison Associates. For the past 18 years, from Memphis to Bristol, from Chattanooga to Lake County, handling the smallest of cases all the way up to the multi-million dollar plus cases, Cody Allison and Associates have handled each one of these with the same professionalism. Seriously. If you can't meet with Cody in Nashville, he will come to you anywhere in the state of Tennessee, even on weekends. Call Cody at 615-234-6000.
Stover's Liquidation has what you need for your spring home projects, inside or outside, with the biggest selection and best prices anywhere. Hundreds of truckloads of landscaping stones in stock right now, all 10% off. And while supplies last, get a free 5x8 area rug for every 1,000 square feet of hardwood purchase. Glass, stone, and metal mosaics, all buy one, get one free. All shaker-style cabinets, 10% off. At Stover's in Cookeville, Antioch, or Knoxville, open 7 days a week, or online anytime at StoversLiquidation.com. Stovers.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tully Barnhart. Presented by Strouds Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Strouds location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Welcome back to Forklift System Sports Saturday. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach. Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart with us. As we mentioned, Tony brought to you by Stroud's Barbecue, Tennessee Steel Haulers, TENH.com. Tony, we were talking transfer rules last segment. Ole Miss has had five more that were, cleared or got their waiver this week. Obviously, Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson's always already been granted to play immediately for Michigan. Before we get to the other guys, I'd like to ask you about that. How big of an impact do you think Shea Patterson can make at Michigan this year? And with the way things are going with Coach Harbaugh's record since he's been there and the amount of money he's being paid, they're probably counting on him to make an impact, aren't they?
No, I think that's fair. Yeah, Shea Patterson is a very, very talented quarterback. I mean, they love what he can do. He played exceedingly well in his Ole Miss, obviously, until he got hurt. And so I think he gives them a dynamic that they haven't had at Michigan. And look, I have been entertained by Coach Harbaugh as much as anybody. But the fact of the matter is, it's about time for him to win something to back that up. But you know what? When you look at the rest of that Big Ten East, Ohio State, loaded. Penn State, loaded. Michigan State, got everybody coming back. I think it's going to be tough, Shea Patterson or no Shea Patterson.
It is going to be tough. You're right. That's and those other guys there, they get after. I mentioned earlier before you were on. I wonder if he does this intentionally, but he always seems to have something going on off the field, right? And did you see the thing where he's trying to figure out a way to compensate players and maybe do it around?
I did see. Well, it's like, Coach, we got a rule about that, Coach. Obviously, he's trying to find a way around the rule, which will certainly endear him to our friends at the NCAA.
Exactly. I just sometimes wonder if that's not intentional. Like, hey, man, I'm a little diversion over here.
Well, I think it's that, and I also think it's the fact that to get attention to the program, do things differently. And there are guys who go, hey, that dude kind of does things differently, man. Him, the whole IMG Academy thing, having their team down there and all of that stuff. It's taking his team. Now, I like the idea of him taking his team overseas. I think every young man ought to get that opportunity, and a young woman for that. I think travel is important. So if they can legally take players on a trip like that, hey, go for it. I'm all for it.
So the other players that were given their eligibility this week immediately to play at their new school, safety Deontay Anderson, Houston, wide receiver Trey Nixon, Central Florida, Jarian Street, linebacker UAB, Jack DeFour, offensive tackle Georgia Tech, and then linebacker Breon Dixon at Nebraska. And then one last one that has he hadn't gotten his waiver yet, but it seems like he probably will, Van Jefferson, wide receiver to Florida. I know Florida would love to have him next year come September.
Well, Florida needs difference makers. I mean, when I went down and visited and I took a hard look at their roster, I told somebody, I said, when I look at the Florida roster, I don't see any Ike Hilliards or Redale Anthony's or Quezzy Greens or Eric Retz or Fred Taylor. I didn't see any of those guys, and so I think they need difference makers, and they need somebody who can get the ball to the difference makers, which is why I think Florida's first team under Dan Mullen is probably 7-5, something like that, first time around.
That's right. And there's a reason why he's there. But if Florida is a place kind of like LSU, you know, if you just do a good job of recruiting, right, not a great job, but a good job of recruiting, that's a place where you ought to have athletes every year. I mean, it's just too good. It's too fertile of a recruiting ground.
No, absolutely. Heck, I could recruit Florida. I mean, just draw a circle, draw a 5-hour perimeter around Gainesville, and you can get all the players you want. But the honest answer is Florida didn't. A couple 3 years under Jim McElwain, they simply did not recruit. They recruited okay, but okay didn't cut it in the SEC. You got to be pretty exceptional if you're going to challenge for the division championship.
A couple of notes that came out this week that really, this is that time of year where you get these kind of stories, but another sign of the times of where how big a business college football is. But Alabama announced that two non-conference games they'll be playing down the road: Western Kentucky in 2023, Southern Miss 2021. Which these are both teams that have been and will be in bowls probably between now and then. They are both being paid $1.9 million to come to Tuscaloosa.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, but it's really simple when you think about it. These are schools, and the Mid-American Conference has made a living off of this stuff. Everybody, you want a team that plays in an FBS conference to come to your place and not return the game. All right. There's a lot of schools who want that. You know, it's not a 1AA and FCS team. It's a team in one of the 11 FBS conferences, but it's a team that you feel pretty confident you're going to beat. It's to get them to come to your place and not want to return game. Well, the competition for those teams is pretty intense. And invariably, when you see stories like this, it's because somebody was able to offer more money. These schools like Western Kentucky we got a spot in 2020. Well, we got this school offering this, and this. Well, let's go with Alabama because they're offering 1.9. So there you go.
No doubt about it. I'm willing to bet that Western Kentucky could not make 1.9 on a home game if they did return the favor. So if I was the AD, I'd make them do something like this
there
every
you go.
Year. I had a friend that coached at all.
And that's where when you're in the other half of the FBS, when you're in not the Power Five, but the rest of the conferences in the FBS, you've got to be really smart about your scheduling. You want to use it to generate money for your athletic department, but you don't want your team to get too beat up, especially if they are a contender in their respective conference. So you got to play these games, but you got to be smart about when you play them and who you play. If you play Alabama, guess what, Tate? You're going to get beat up.
That's right.
All right. That you know that. You know you're not going to be in great shape to play the following week. Well, your schedule probably needs to reflect that.
No doubt. That's what I was going to tell you. I had a friend who coached at Austin Peay, and that's what he said. He in back-to-back years, they went to Oregon, and I think back then it was $500,000, $600,000, whatever, a lot of money for Austin Peay, and they went to Oregon, and then the next year they went to Wisconsin. He said the difference is we got beat by 60 both places, but he said we were so beat up after the Wisconsin game that the next three games after that, we didn't stand a chance. So that's you're exactly right. You want to get these 1.9, but you'd rather have somebody who's not going to, beat you up physically and possibly get guys hurt. That's I guess that's where the head coaches, are really leery of these kind of games at a place like Western.
Right. You got to be real smart about how you manage your team through games like this. And the other thing is most of the time, once the favored team kind of gets a little bit of a lead, he starts subbing, and it's not the talent differential is not quite as great when these teams put their twos and their threes in, and that's kind of how you manage your team through a game like this.
Another interesting rule that was released this week, this and at least on my this falls under my category of why does this matter? The NCAA will now limit the number of people who can wear headsets during a game to 20, and 15 of those will be coaches, 4 will be players. One extra person can wear the headsets, say like a non-field guy to chart plays or things. So They are limiting the headsets to 20. Why does that make a difference?
When I saw this story, Tate, I said, I didn't know this was an issue. First of all, I didn't even know there were 20 headsets on the entire team. I never, you know, you see the head coach sometimes, and sometimes he doesn't. You know, the coordinators are on there. You know, all the position coaches are on there, but 20 people, I had no idea. But like a lot of things, you know, the reason they created the rule was it was getting out of hand, and you got 30 people on the headsets, and and they try to legislate, fairness as much as they possibly can. But this one caught me by surprise. I had no idea this was an issue.
I would love to hear the conversation, say at Alabama, where like the guy who is allowed to chart plays. One, I bet it's not even turned on. But can you imagine? You know, the somebody probably has to pull that guy aside and say, "Now listen, you know, under no circumstances are you to say anything. You are here to listen, and that is it."
Do not offer feedback, whatever you do. And there's a reason the head football coach at Alabama does not wear a headset. He didn't want to hear anybody else. He's the guy that's dispensing the knowledge, okay?
Yeah, that would be something. We ought to, one week, y'all ought to look at that. If there was a live feed into that. You want to talk about being able to make some money, like in NASCAR. Can you imagine if they had a subscription package to where you could listen to what's being said on the headsets? Make a lot of money.
I would absolutely pay money to hear Nick Saban for an entire game, okay?
or
the
Urban.
Combination of or Urban, yep. Yep. But the thing about Saban, well, first of all, I would have paid just to listen his conversations or his discussions or his analysis to Lane Kiffin. I would have paid anything I could afford just to listen to that dynamic, because I know most of the time only one guy is talking. So
that would be good. Something to look into. That's something you could probably pull off. All right. When we come back, we'll finish up with Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, right here on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday.
104.5 The Zone.
Join us for 104.5 The Zone Night at the Franklin Rodeo, Friday, May 18th. Franklin Rodeo is the largest and oldest indoor rodeo east of the Mississippi River. To win tickets to 104.5 The Zone Night on May 18th, go to 104.5thezone.com and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Franklin Rodeo. Sit-down suppers start nightly at 5:30 p.m., with performances starting at 7 p.m. Parking is free. For more information, you can go to franklinrodeo.com.
America's most passionate fans. WGFX-FM, Gallatin, Nashville. 104.5 The Zone.
A Cumulus station.
104.5 The Zone.
Your zone forecast.
Brought to you by FreelandAuto.com. That's FreelandAuto.com. Jeep, Ram, Chevy.
A hot weekend in store for us across the mid-state. Today we'll see partly cloudy skies with high temperatures getting up into the lower 90s and upper 80s. We will be near record-breaking heat for both Saturday and Sunday. Tonight will be clear and warm, a perfect evening for your Saturday night plans. Temperatures dipping down to the middle 60s. Tomorrow, another dry day with highs in the lower 90s. From the News Channel 5 Storm 5 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Heather Mathis.
Hi, folks. This is Herb Berry, owner of Berry's Jewelry Company in historic downtown Madison. You know, engagement and anniversary season is here. And if you're thinking of popping the question this year, Berry's Jewelry Company has the answer. At Berry's, we feature a tremendous selection of quality diamond engagement rings and bridal sets, often up to 50% less than other retail jewelers. So if you have a big anniversary coming up, please stop by to check out the selection of exquisite diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, diamond anniversary rings, or even an upgrade for her current bridal set. Berry's carries a huge selection of ring settings, and you can even select your own center diamond. Thrill her with the best from Berry's, and do your budget a favor. Don't pay retail. So come on over to Berry's and see for yourself what clients for many years have discovered. Berry's Jewelry Company, for quality, value, selection, and service. You just can't do better than Berry's. Visit us today in Madison at berriesjewelryco.com or Facebook.
Brad, welcome.
Wilkinson, Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply on with us this morning. Brad, seems like you guys have got offices everywhere in Middle Tennessee.
That's exactly right, JT. And the fact that we are locally owned and operated, when you come into Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply, you're going to talk to former golf course superintendents, former sports turf managers, commercial landscapers, nursery management, people from all parts of the industry that have came onto the supply side now. So we know what works. We know our native soils. We know the plants. We know the different types of turf grasses, and we know the different kind of weeds. So when you come into Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply, you're going to talk to a real turf and landscape professional who can get you the right products, get you on a schedule to make sure that you're making the most out of your turf and landscape out there in your lawn. And another great thing about Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply, JT, because of this knowledge and the background that we have custom blended fertilizers because we've taken the time and we've put in the legwork to make sure we've got the right ingredients, the organic base, the sulfates, the magnesium, all those important nutrients, not only to the plants, but in the soil and for the plants to get as they need them. So you can come by and see us today. We're in the office until noon. We are easy to find in Cool Springs, Murfreesboro, Nashville, Bellevue, Hendersonville, Knoxville, Mount Juliet, Brentwood Lawnmower, at Dickens Turf on Twitter. We got a Facebook page. And as always, JT, you can check us out online at DickensSupply.com.
104.5 The Zone. Saturday morning sports talk continues with insight and analysis from some of the industry's best. This is Forkless Systems Sports Saturday on 104.5 The Zone. Now, your host, former Tennessee coordinator, Doug Matthews.
Welcome into Forkless Systems Sports Saturday. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach. We've got Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart with us for one more segment. Then we'll go to Charles Davis, number 22. And then we'll be joined by Alan Cockrell. We'll be talking SEC baseball with Alan. And then we'll finish up with Ryan Callahan of GoVols247.com, talking recruiting in the SEC. So that's the lineup for the second hour. But we've got Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart for one more segment. Tony, you look at the salaries that the assistant coaches are making now. It's you know, it never ceases to amaze me. But Florida announced that they are going to pay defensive coordinator Todd Grantham $4.47 million, making him the highest paid assistant in school history at one of the top programs in the country. I did a little looking to put that to compare that to what Jeremy Pruitt made. His last contract at Alabama, his 3-year contract was $4.2 million, and he was a defense coordinator of a national championship winning team. Anyways, they're putting a lot of faith in Grantham down in Gainesville.
But you know, and as you figured out, Tate, that's where the market is right now. I mean, the fact of the matter is the coordinators at Power Five programs, particularly in the SEC and the Big Ten, are now all over $1 million. I mean, to me, that would be the fascinating chart is to chart, you know, everybody knows what's happening with head coaches, but chart the growth in salaries for coordinators and how it has exponentially grown along with it. Why? Because if you get one of these rock star coordinators in your program, if you let him go, with the amount of money that's in college football now because of the playoff and the SEC network, if you let a talented coordinator go, it better be because of something other than money. Okay, money cannot be the reason that you let a guy like that go because you've got plenty of money, and everybody knows that. Let's take Dave Aranda. Dave Aranda's $2.5 million, as you mentioned. And everybody goes, why in the world would they pay Dave Aranda $2.5 million? They paid him $2.5 million because Matt Canada and Ed Orgeron decided to part ways. And all of a sudden, your coordinator's gone, and Dave Aranda could have gone to Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher. But LSU said, we can't let this guy go. If we let both of our coordinators go, we're like a sinking ship. And Ed Orgeron knew he could not do it. So he appealed to his athletic director, Joe Oliva, whatever the number is, Joe, we got to pay it. Aranda had all the leverage, and now he's the highest paid coordinator in college football.
Wow. And it'll be hard to lose him at that dollar figure. You know, if he's making 1.2, 1.3.
Only as a head coach. Yeah.
And maybe even still then, you know, a guy like, you know, I always thought back to a guy like Coach Cutcliffe, you know, when he went to Duke. I think he wanted to be a head coach again. But I always wondered, what's the number? Was it $2 million? You know, whatever that would have been, he would have stayed and been an offense coordinator because, you know, that would have been money well spent. You're right.
Exactly. But, you know, that's the nature of the marketplace right now. Guess what? When Texas A&M said, hey, we got to quit fooling around here. Okay, we're working on the fringes of this thing. Our only good years since we joined the SEC have been with Johnny Manziel, and we haven't been able to maintain anything since. Who do we want? Let's identify the person that we want as head coach. Let's meet with him. Let's put a number on the table he cannot refuse. And that's why Jimbo Fisher's getting $75 million over 10 years. They put a number on the table he couldn't refuse. When Nick Saban got the job, or a couple of days before he got the job, I was working for CBS, and we were doing the Gator Bowl on New Year's Day, and it looked like Nick Saban was going to get the job, and Tim Brando asked me what I thought of it at 8 years, $4 million a year, which was just simply unheard of. I said, I promise you, Tim, there will come a day when Alabama will say that we got Nick Saban as a bargain at $4 million. And that's the way it's turned out.
No doubt about it. ESPN has hired Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland to be part of their broadcast. What does that tell you?
That tells you that the excitement of college football is unique. The excitement of college football, frankly, it's different than the NFL. We need to infuse this. The Monday Night Football package has the ratings have been consistently going down. We've got to infuse Monday Night Football with the college enthusiasm. So you get Joe Tessitore, whose star has risen so quickly at ESPN. He is incredible play-by-play guy. Just he's got the combination of the skills to call the game, the excitement to it, the knowledge of it, just absolutely perfect. And Booger McFarland is another guy who's a friend who I've seen his star rise since he got to the SEC network. So that's what they're doing is they're infusing the NFL with the college excitement and hoping that that's going to pay off. I think it's a great move by ESPN. I really do.
Yeah, and it is. It's a more exciting game right now, more exciting broadcast. And, yeah, I think they'll do. I love Tessitore. I enjoy listening to him. SEC and in NFL, I thought this was pretty neat. You saw Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray last week. He's headed to Chicago for a tryout with the Bears. They need a number three quarterback. It just goes to show, man, the difference between the games. But here is the all-time leading passer in the SEC. Now, think about that, of all the guys that have played there.
Right.
And he's trying to land a number three spot.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. Aaron was supposed to play in my charity golf tournament that I had on Monday, and he calls me on like 4 days before and said, Tony, you're not going to believe this, but I got to go try out for the Bears. I said, Aaron, if I had a dollar for every time somebody used that excuse, I'd be a millionaire. And it was interesting, but credit to Aaron. He did show up at the tournament and shook a lot of hands and did all that. And I'm excited for him. The guy, listen, people forget that great game between Georgia and Alabama in the 2012 SEC championship game when Murray led them down the field, got them down to the 5-yard line, and they almost won the game. Had they won the game, they would have surely beaten Notre Dame for the national championship. And you know what? Mark Richt might still be the head coach of Georgia.
Yeah. He's doing. He got a pretty nice raise at Miami, though. Coach Rick's doing fine.
I'm thrilled because Coach Rick is a good football coach and a good man. And you know, when he left Georgia, when they let him go, when they let Mark Richt go at Georgia, he had averaged 9.7 wins a year for 15 years. With five appearances in the SEC championship game. So it's not like they were awful. And so I was really pleased when he had a chance to go back to his alma mater and get them in the ACC championship game. That made me really happy.
Tony, speaking of Aaron Murray, he's great player. Obviously, he's very smart to do what he did at that position in Georgia. Good-looking guy. Do you know if and when he doesn't make or his NFL career is over? Is he a made-for-TV guy? Does he want to go into coaching? Do you have any feel for that?
Yeah, we talked about it. He did some stuff this year for the CBS Sports Network. That's their cable version of the CBS Sports. I used to work for them many years. So he's done some games, and he's a natural. He's a natural when it comes to media stuff. And so he lives here in Atlanta. He is in commercial real estate. Obviously, his name and his personality opens a lot of doors. But yeah, he would like to do a little bit more TV, a little bit media, and frankly, he'll be really good at it.
Yep, I think so too. Lastly, we had talked about Grantham and the salaries there. Alabama, they released their deals for their two coordinators were approved. The offense coordinator is going to make 1.2, defense coordinator is going to make 1.1. That just, kind of reminded me, that he's replacing both of them. Obviously, he knows how he wants things done. But with Loxley and then Toss, do you expect to see any slight changes with these two? Obviously, there always is when you have new coordinators. But what do you expect out of that, especially on offense?
Defensively, there will be no changes. Okay, everybody understands when you're there, you were running. I mean, you do the day-to-day work, but you're running Nick Saban's defense, and he'll be involved on that side of the ball, particularly in the secondary. Coach Saban still coaches the secondary. On the offensive side of the ball, it's going to be interesting. What's interesting about that is the fact that Mike Loxley is going to be working with Dan Enos, the former Arkansas offensive coordinator, and Dan Enos. They had some other issues at Arkansas, but the passing game wasn't one of them. The passing game was really well done under Austin Allen, Brandon Allen. And so Dan Enos will have a big input in the way that offense is going to be run. And based on what we saw last year, they certainly have the talent to run the offense.
Tony, I appreciate it. As always, great information. The coach will be back next Saturday. You two will be back together. So thanks for letting me sit in with you. And I know you're going to be with your mother. Have a happy Mother's Day weekend, friend.
All right. You two. Always a lot of fun, Tate. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Remember, Tony, always brought to you by Stroud's Barbecue. You're just a pooch punt away from a Stroud's store in Tennessee Steel Haulers. TENH.com. We'll be right back with number 22, Charles Davis on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday.
Stover's Liquidation has what you need for your spring home projects, inside or outside, with the biggest selection and best prices anywhere. Hundreds of truckloads of landscaping stones in stock right now, all 10% off. And while supplies last, get a free 5x8 area rug for every 1,000 square feet of hardwood purchase. Glass, stone, and metal mosaics, all buy one, get one free. All shaker-style cabinets, 10% off. At Stover's in Cookeville, Antioch, or Knoxville, open 7 days a week, or online anytime at StoversLiquidation.com. Stover's.
Cosmetic dentistry, restorative dentistry, as specialized areas in dentistry as it gets. For over a decade and a half, Dr. Clint Newman has specialized in these two areas in Middle Tennessee. Located in Green Hills, online at clintnewmandds.com, Dr. Newman's vast experience coupled with his artistic eye has provided his highly valued patients incredible results. Check him out at ClintNewmanDDS.com. Restorative dentistry, cosmetic dentistry.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford. Or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is Mike Keith with a hot tip for football fans. You don't have to miss a second of the action for a meal break. Just call Rafferty's and order one of their delicious party trays to feed the crowd. It's quick and easy, whether you're at home, partying with friends, even at the office. You can enjoy Rafferty's famous chicken fingers, club sandwiches, ribs, and much, much more. Just call ahead and pick up right in their carryout store. Your party trays will be ready when you get there for the whole crowd. That's Rafferty's, with locations across Tennessee.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
Our customers know that Mid-South Business Furniture is the office furniture expert in Middle Tennessee. But did you know that we are also an experienced office design firm as well? Our office design staff will amaze you. We can also meet your office supply needs with next-day delivery. Our online ordering is quick and easy. Give us a call at 297-5654 or visit our website at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com. Mid-South Business Furniture. Fun jingle, serious business.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
Portland Systems Sports Saturday continues with Charles Davis, presented by Barry's Jewelry Company of Madison. Always online at Barry'sJewelryCo.com.
Welcome back to Forklift System Sports Saturday. We've got number 22, Charles Davis, with us. Charles, brought to you by Barry's Jewelry Company at Barry'sJewelryCo.com. Charles, good morning, brother. Happy Mother's Day weekend.
Hey, good morning to you, and happy Mother's Day weekend. And please give your mother a very special one from me, please.
I will do it.
Obviously, your beautiful bride. And then happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Hope it's a wonderful one.
Same to you, buddy. Hey, I read an article about Dabo Swinney at Clemson, you know, and I guess kind of the point of the story was Saban obviously isn't going to coach forever. Would you be interested? He's not really, you know, he didn't take that bait and said, hey, I think his quote was, I'm happy as a pig in mud. But with that, I started looking at it. You know, you sometimes you lose sight of it. And he mentioned this, those seniors last year, they won 40 games in 3 years. That's amazing.
It is. It is amazing, and it's also a testament to him because you remember the circumstance of him getting the job at Clemson. Tommy Bowden had been there, okay? Remember, Tommy had had the success at Tulane, went an undefeated one season. They would have been, in today's terms, UCF of last year. Right? They would have been the team, hey, how come we don't get a chance to play for a national title during that time frame? Tommy Bowden goes on to Clemson, has some pockets of success, beats his dad a couple of times, you know, but never quite got where they wanted to get because Clemson's always been a program that I've always said looked, thought of itself, acted like an SEC program. And I don't want people to be offended by that. Because the rise of the ACC is real, and yes, they can make a big-time case in the last few years. Hey, we're as good as the SEC, and I'm not going to sit here and argue with them. But you know how the SEC has always been, Tate. That's just, you know, it's kind of the standard. And Clemson always felt that way. Look at the fan support. Look at the fervor. Look at everything that goes in with it. And Dabo comes in as an interim coach, middle of the season, jumping around like he's almost a team mascot, like a leprechaun. I don't think many people thought he would be there. I think people thought he was the stopgap. He was Mr. Enthusiasm. This is perfect for right now, and let's go out and get us a real coach. And how many years later are we sitting here where he has evolved, grown into that role and more? They recruit as well as anyone in the country. They play to the top level. They're playing for championships, not just in the conference, but national. And how about that defensive line? All those kids would have been big-time draft choices this year. Okay, they all chose to come back. Now, I hope they come back and they're going to go play to their level and not play to protect themselves, which is understandable, but you don't want that. But my goodness, that tells you a lot about this program and what he's done. And personally, if it's old school Tate, he doesn't ever leave Clemson. He stays there. This is who he is. He is now their modern day Frank Howard, Danny Ford. Yep. Right, he is that guy. To go to Alabama and build off of Saban, you know, and you know what the Bear did before him, and right on, you know, Gene Stallings around down the line. I think that he could have a better identity, quote unquote, and retire where they're touching the rock and they're pointing to Dabo's name in the stadium and the Ring of Honor.
I think he's, you know, stay at Clemson is what I would say. But we're a long way from that because I don't see Nick Saban slowing down for a while.
That's right. And in that article, it said that they won he said it. He said these seniors have won 40 games in 3 years. He said the only problem with that is Alabama won 41.
Yeah, and, you know, but, I mean, look, he's gone head-to-head with Alabama, you know. I mean, two national championship games, right? A semifinal game. It's hard to say that there's anything better out there other than Alabama.
Well, and then 7 straight 10-win seasons has a chance to go for 8 in a row, which is unheard of. Definitely never happened there. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. That was going to be fun. Let's go to Ole Miss and Shea Patterson transfer to Michigan. How big of an impact? I asked Tony this. Want to know what you think. How big of an impact, if any, do you think he makes at Michigan? And, I mean, I think it's really needed. I think – for the first time, the heat maybe on Harbaugh, it's real this season, isn't it?
Yeah, I would agree with that in terms of not that they win ball games because they're going to win games. But he hasn't done what a Michigan coach is expected doing, that's beat Ohio State. Hadn't played for a Big Ten championship. That's what's going to equate into long-term stuff. Okay, I think everyone now has gotten the, okay, Jim Harbaugh's making news thing. I think we're kind of past that. Does that make sense, Tate? Hey, Jim Harbaugh did something else nutty that we in the media love to cover, and wow, look at this. Isn't this fun? You know, he slept over at some kid's house. He wears khakis all the time. He's having recruiting camps all over the place and wearing out his staff. He's doing this. Well, he hadn't beat Ohio State, hadn't played for Big Ten title. The gimmick time is over. All right, that's fun, Jimmy. It's no longer fun. Quirky might be the right word. Nutty would be another one.
Yes.
When are you going to get it done? That's where we are, I think. I think even the Michigan people are at that stage now of, okay, can we just talk about beating Ohio State?
Right.
Can we talk about beating Michigan State? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to beat Penn State?
That's right. They're pretty good, too.
You know, so it's a lot going in there with him, and he hasn't had great stability in the offensive side. We don't know who's going to call plays. I mean, they keep shooting themselves in the foot with certain things. I saw in the offseason when they hired Jim McElwain, which, okay, terrific. That's great. But I don't know how you publicize him as a great offensive mind when his offenses are finishing in the hundreds at Florida.
How is that going to work?
I mean, that doesn't make sense to me that a media relations staff would let that slide through.
Yeah.
You know? Did anyone do their homework? And you just open yourself up for more ridicule. I don't know. Listen, at this stage, I wouldn't be surprised if Jim Harbaugh just takes over running the offense himself again. That would not surprise me because Pep Hamilton is still there, but Tim Drevno's no longer there. I don't think you bring in McElwain and turn it over to him. I don't think. He might. I wouldn't be surprised if Jim, being where he is now, knowing he needs this, a lot of times, Tate, you end up relying on yourself, and you go back to, okay, I'm going to take it over myself, and we'll sink or swim on my own merits, and let's see how it works.
Yeah, and why wouldn't he? I mean, they – I know, you know, the job is bigger than – it's hard to do, but it can be done, and he's done it in the past, and when he did it, they were successful.
Like a lot of coaches have told me along the way, when coaches have struggled a little bit, try to remember what got you hired in the first place. And for Jim Harbaugh, what got him hired was offensive expertise, right? Getting a team motivated and moving. Maybe it's time for him to go ahead and fall back on that. So we'll see how it works out for him. Listen, he's a good football coach. You know, I've said a lot of things here people are going to construe as criticism. Bottom line is, it's not criticism, it's expectation. At the University of Michigan, you're supposed to beat those teams and be a contender. And he knows that as well as anyone else. And he's got to find a way to get that done. And if I were him, I'd definitely fall back on what got me to the place I was in the first place, which is a lot of him and his own football expertise. So let's see what happens.
Let me ask you this, and it sounds weird because he played there, but I firmly believe this. I believe Rich Rodriguez is a good football coach.
Yes.
He was a great football coach at West Virginia. He was not a great football coach at Michigan. You know, I think sometimes it's for whatever reason, fit, time, situation, or whatever. Again, weird because he played there, but maybe Michigan's not the spot for Harbaugh. You buy into any of that?
I think it can be the spot for him. I don't think that there's a disconnect by who he is and not having the success there that he had at Stanford, University of San Diego, even helping his dad at Western Kentucky when they won a national championship in 1AA. I don't think that's it at all. I do think that sometimes what happens is we media people, Tate, and I'm one of those that, because I'm a media person, I don't ever shy away from it and go, hey, those, you know, pull the Bob Knight. Hey, those media guys, well, if you're calling games, you're in the media. Okay, you're part of it.
Yeah.
I think sometimes for Jim Harbaugh, the success that he had getting us writing about him, tweeting about him, blogging about him, following his every move, may have overwhelmed the mission a little bit. Sometimes getting in the paper, you know, getting in, you know, online, getting in print, whatever you want to call it. And let's face it, we had fun chortling about that. Like, what coach is sleeping over at a kid's house, right? What coach is doing this? What coach is doing that? And then we media people were very good at building you up. We're also very good at knocking your knees out from under you, too. And now we're like, well, yeah, well, you haven't beat people yet. Oh, whoa, 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 what happened? I thought you loved me. And I think now you can just go ahead and lock in and focus and go play. You don't need to run 9 different summer camps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And wear out your staff. Why don't you go ahead and get ready for the season?
He's doing another one here in Martin, I believe.
Yeah. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with it.
Hey, Charles.
I've just always said over time, you might want to be careful about how many times you take your staff away in the off season. They might like to see their family occasionally.
No doubt about it. But I will say this. He did one, I think, it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, down here in Murfreesboro.
Yep.
And I went to it, and I will say this. If that camp was 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours, whatever, he coached. He wasn't standing around talking and twirling. He coached those kids every second that he was on the field, and he coached them. Maybe the language was different, but he coached them like he would coach his own kids, and I don't think that was an act.
No, it's not an act. It is a pure investment on him, and all that is great. My criticisms of it are, number of times you're doing this, is that really going to help you beat Michigan State, you know? All those things, that's all I want to know. Are these things helping you get your program where you want it to be? And if you truly believe that, then go ahead and continue to do these things. You know, go to Rome, go to Paris. Those are great educational aspects for these kids. I'll never criticize all of that. Bottom line, though, is at the end, he's not going to be judged on that, unfortunately. He's going to be judged on Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State, Big Ten. And that's what he has to get done.
Charles, real quick, obviously, Baker Mayfield, multimillionaire now, right?
Yeah.
Oklahoma has to have to find a new quarterback. Kyler Murray, you would think he's the guy. He's missed, if not all of spring. I'm sure he did, but if not.
Baseball.
Yep. And now they're saying he could be drafted in the first round.
If
you're Lincoln Riley, what do you do? I mean, that's I got to make some plans here. And when that's up in the air, how do you handle that?
I think it all comes down to how you feel about the other quarterbacks. And, Tate, what it came down to was, you remember Russell Wilson, North Carolina State. Tom O'Brien told him, fine if you want to keep playing baseball, but if you're going to, I'm going in a different direction because I've got a quarterback here who can play, and that was Mike Glennon. And that's when Russell Wilson went to Wisconsin and went on to fame and fortune. Mike Glennon went to NC State, you know, took over, had a nice career, was a starter for a short time in the NFL, has made gobs of money. But Russell Wilson was the real star, and Tom O'Brien ultimately got judged by you told Russell Wilson to take a hike. So it's just a matter of how much you feel about the other guys and whether or not you've got people who can play. And I've heard Oklahoma has some quarterback competition there. And Kyler is following the footsteps of his father. I'm old enough to remember his dad, Kevin Murray, who was a first-round pick, I think, of the Milwaukee Brewers, and then came back to Texas A&M, and I believe won 3 straight Southwest Conference championships for Jackie Sherrill as a quarterback for the Aggies. So Kyler's just doing it in reverse. And he's not – look, I'll put it this way too, Tate. Size-wise, he's a lot smaller than the old man. It's a different style of play. The old man was a big, thick, strong quarterback. Kyler is a speedster who we know can play as well.
It'll be interesting. Charles, I appreciate it, man, as always. You were great. I hope you have a great weekend. Coach will be back next Saturday, and happy Mother's Day, brother.
Happy Mother's Day to you as well, and best to your family, and look forward to seeing you in the not-too-distant future, brother.
Okay, my man.
Be good.
Charles Davis, brought to you by Barry's Jewelry Company, online at barryjewelriesco.com. Up next, Alan Cockrell. We'll be talking SEC baseball right here on Forklift System Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone.
Locally owned for over 20 years, Franklin American Mortgage Company has grown from humble roots to become one of the largest mortgage lenders in the nation. But they've never gotten too big to give back to the communities that have given them so much. They're proud to support numerous national and regional charities, as well as youth, collegiate, and professional sports in the Nashville area. Their values aren't only in their great rates and unparalleled service, they're in everything they do. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1599.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
I love my community. And as a doting dad...
Daddy's home!
A devoted son...
There you are, Joe!
And a good neighbor...
Hey, man!
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Hi, folks. Dennis Siner here. I would like to introduce you to our family-owned and operated insurance agency, Dennis Siner Insurance. We've been providing our clients the most superior insurance products for their homes, autos, businesses, and life insurance needs since 1998. We are backed by a company known in the industry for their financial strength and superior service, Erie Insurance Group. Let Dennis Siner Insurance offer you the best insurance products, personalized service, for the most competitive price. Please visit us at dsiagency.net.
This is Dwayne Hardy, President, Forklift Systems. We've been proud to partner with Doug over the last 15 years. Welcome back to Forklift Systems Sports Saturday.
Welcome back to Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Time to talk a little SEC baseball. That means Alan Cockrell joins us. Alan, good morning.
Hey, Kate. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, brother. Hey, real quick, we got to get you a brought to you by, and I'm thinking maybe, what do you think of this? Alan Cockrell brought to you by the Downstream Casino in Joplin, Missouri. You think we could get that done?
Downstream Casino. Yeah, let's do it. Let's give them a call.
That's a great place, man. They got a great bingo
hall. I didn't even know Joplin had a casino.
You hadn't been back in a while, have you?
Well, I know that they did, you know, out in northeastern Oklahoma. I know that they had some down there. I didn't know that they'd moved up into Joplin.
It's really nice. Yep, it's right outside. Maybe sometime we'll go. Okay, nobody cares about that. Let's talk SEC baseball. We're getting close. It's right down towards the end of the season, and there's some pretty big series going on this week. Florida and Georgia have the two best records in the league. They play this weekend at Florida. Right. Gators got the win last night, 7-6. Big step.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Georgia and Florida, they're both safe. They're in the tournament. They're probably going to back off a little bit here, if not this weekend, the next weekend, with some of their starting pitching and as far as innings thrown and number of pitches thrown to try to
rest them up for SEC play and then on into the regionals and beyond for hopefully them.
Is Florida clearly the best team, or is Georgia? I guess we'll have a better feel after today and tomorrow, but do you think they're clearly the number one, or are those two kind of neck and neck?
I think Florida is the clear number one, and they've got really, really good, solid starting pitching. They have two kids that are probably going to go in this year's June draft. They'll probably go in the top 10 picks in the country. So, I mean, that alone is going to set you apart. But offensively this year, Florida is really swinging the bats. And last year, if they had a weakness, it would have been their offense. But this year, they're a run-scoring machine.
Arkansas leads the West. They have the third-best record in the SEC. They host A&M this weekend. A&M literally, depending on what happened last night, is 500, 12-12. So Arkansas leading the West, if they can win this series, which they probably will, do they kind of do the same thing that you're talking about with Florida and Georgia and kind of ease off the pitching, the starting pitching?
I think they do. I think they start probably putting their guys on a pitch count. Arkansas can do it. Ole Miss can start doing this because they're safe and they're in. But, you look at the rest of the league, and there's a lot of 500 clubs, and there's some serious bubble clubs right now. Obviously, Tennessee and Missouri are tied at 10-15. They play next weekend in Columbia, and then Mississippi State sits at 11-14. And they've got pretty tough road ahead of them. They're at Kentucky this weekend. And next weekend, they have Florida coming to Starkville. So that's going to be these last two weekends are going to really be interesting to see how it all shapes up. But there's potentially some bubble teams that right now they look like they're safe. But with the schedule and their upcoming schedule, it might be tough for them to get in.
Yeah, and mentioning the Arkansas A&M, Arkansas did get to win last night against A&M 9-3. So you mentioned some of those bubble teams. I guess Tennessee is sitting at 10-15. Missouri is either 9-15, 9-16. Tennessee fell to Vanderbilt last night 7-6. Obviously, they play them again today and tomorrow. But is it safe to say, I guess, Alabama's really the only team that is out?
I would say Bama is the only team that's out. They sit at 6-19, with what five games to play in the SEC, and I would say that they're out. Tennessee and Missouri, the other two clubs right now, both sit at 10-15. They both have five to play, and then they play each other to cap out the regular season SEC. So those teams are visibly on the bubble. But you've got Kentucky, you've got Vanderbilt, and Mississippi State. As I said, a lot can happen right now with everybody still having five games to play, and they've got some pretty stiff competition coming up.
Alan, last Sunday on Big Orange Sunday, you said Tennessee needed to win or had to win the Kentucky series to get into the tournament. They did. As we mentioned, they've got Missouri next, so that's going to be – who knows where the records will be going in there. Okay, two more games at Vanderbilt. Do they have to win? Do you think, in your opinion, do they have to win this series because they're already down 0-1?
It's pretty darn close to must-win time for them. If they can win one of three, then at least their destiny is going to be in their hands when they go to Columbia to play Missouri next weekend. If they win two, they put themselves in a much better position to get into the tournament because to end the season, or right now, rather, Missouri is in Columbia. Now, they stole one last night. They beat South Carolina in Columbia. South Carolina. So that's a tough place to play. And for Missouri to go in and win game one, that just means that they're playing their best baseball right now. And they're in the same boat as Tennessee. They're going to pull out all the stops with with pitching and probably pitching guys on short rest and making sure that they're giving themselves every opportunity to win every inning of every ball game.
Mississippi State and Kentucky are not quite in the same situation as Tennessee, say Missouri, but they were both 11-13 going into last night. They're playing right now. This is a must-win series as well.
Mississippi State sits at 11-14 right now with five to go. And they're more on the bubble than I think maybe people recognize. But I'm thinking that if 13 wins may get you into the tournament, 14 is definitely going to get you into the tournament. So right now Mississippi State sits at 11 wins. Missouri and Tennessee both sit with 10 wins, and they've got to get to 13, at least 13. 14, I think, is a shoe-in.
Alan, you take the top 12 teams of the 14, doesn't matter, you know, east, west, just the top 12 teams. How important in SEC tournament in baseball is the seeding? Say Florida, Georgia, you know, is it a big deal? I mean, other than, you know, you want to win every game, you want to be the regular season champion and all that. But is there a big difference between finishing 1-2 or 3-4?
Well, I mean, maybe for the head coach who has a bonus on the line. But, I mean, obviously you want to get yourself into postseason, and that means playing in a regional, hosting a regional, and then, you know, winning that and then hosting the super regional. I think Florida's put themselves in that position. I believe Georgia has put themselves in that position. And, you know, the SEC is icing on the cake, I think. But you play all those games. It's just like Major League Baseball. You play 162 games so that you get the opportunity to get into postseason and hopefully play for a world championship. And it's really the same in college baseball. You don't play the number of games, but you have got to put yourself in a position through that regular season to be able to compete at a regional and then hopefully super regional and then on into the College World Series in Omaha.
Vanderbilt sitting at 12-13, not used to seeing them there. Obviously, Coach Corbin knows how to play winning baseball. His program knows how to play winning baseball. You, for the Vandy fans out there, you see them getting on a late season run, or is about middle of the pack what they are this year?
They have the pitching to get on a run. I will say that. You know, you just never know. It's all about getting hot at the right time. You know, you'll see wild card teams get in Major League Baseball. They'll get into the postseason as a wild card club, and they got hot to get in as a wild card club, and then they stay hot, and several wild card clubs win a World Series. So it's the type of team that can, because they have pitching and they have some pitching depth. But again, you know, you got to go out and play. And I will say this about Tennessee. They absolutely are playing their tail ends off. They are competing, and they just don't have this quit attitude at all. They were down 7-2 last night and made it a ball game at 7-6. Santiago hit a grand slam. And then they had a chance to win the ball game in the ninth. Vanderbilt's pitching shut them down when they had to, but anything can happen at this point.
Alan, we appreciate you joining us, man. Great information on the SEC. We'll talk UT baseball tomorrow and on Big Orange Sunday, okay?
Sounds good. All right. Thanks.
Have a good night, brother. Alan Cockrell. Nobody knows SEC baseball like Alan. Up next, we'll go to Ryan Callahan of GoVols247.com. We'll be talking SEC recruiting right here on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone.
Hey, this is Larry Thorne with Global Motorsports here in Middle Tennessee. I had a guy in the store the other day buying a car who's bought multiples of cars from us. He said, I'd never buy a car anywhere else, Larry. Nowhere can I go buy a car, be taken care of by one person, be in and out of the store in under 20 minutes once I make a decision. You're the dealership for those of us who don't like dealerships. Appreciate you guys being here. I can't imagine shopping anywhere else. With that, I would just say, check us out at Global Motorsports, Inc., for our two boutiques, one in Belmead and one in Cool Springs. Again, online at globalmotorsportsinc.com.
Okay, honey, sit down. I have something to say.
Oh, do I have a choice?
Yes, please, have a seat.
Can I sit in the living room?
Of course.
Or how about the porch?
Can you just sit right here, please?
I thought I had a choice. Hey, you said I had a choice.
Oh, boy.
Farm Bureau health plans, you have choices. With lots of plans for families and individuals with different levels of coverage, deductibles, and co-payments, we've got you covered. Go to fbhealthplans.com or visit your local Farm Bureau office.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
Boating, fishing, visiting all at beautiful Dale Hollow Lake. Willow Grove Marina, that's the place to go. It's a full-service marina. Everything that you would possibly need. Rental boats and pontoons, shoreline cabins, 1, 2, 3, even 4-bedroom. Fishermen? Well, it's the best fishing lake in the state of Tennessee, bar none. Food, snack bar, Saturday night entertainment, lots of family fun. The website, all the complete information there, willowgrove.biz. Willowgrove.biz for Willow Grove Marina.
This is Forklift Systems Sports Saturday with former UT coach Doug Matthews on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back to Forklift System Sports Saturday. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach. He'll be back next Saturday. We've got Ryan Callahan of GoVols247.com on the line with us. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Doing well, my friend. Appreciate you joining us. We're going to talk SEC recruiting today. You'll be back again tomorrow on Big Orange Sunday, and we'll talk Vols recruiting just like we did last Sunday. But we're going to talk SEC recruiting for this segment. Let's start with tight end Tyler Fromm of Warner Robins, Georgia. Younger brother of quarterback Jake Fromm, Georgia quarterback, committed to Auburn last weekend. That old Auburn-Georgia rivalry is always interesting. That makes it even more interesting. Question, did Georgia recruit Tyler very heavily and he just chose Auburn? What was that about?
Yeah, no, that Georgia wasn't a factor in that decision. Georgia already has a tight end commitment in the 2019 class, and it's actually a really good year for tight ends in the state of Georgia. So I think this is just a case of one of those players, having to go elsewhere. And it is interesting that Georgia has not been as involved there to this point, given Jake Fromm being on the roster. But he is a good player, though. 4-star prospect, according to 24/7 Sports, and then a 3-star in the 24/7 Sports composite, but still a top 25 tight end nationally, consensus top 25 tight end, and ends up coming down mainly to Auburn, Florida, and South Carolina, and Auburn landed him last weekend. So definitely going to make that rivalry much more interesting to have Auburn and Georgia having brothers of that stature being on opposite sidelines. But a nice pickup for Auburn. They need a couple tight ends in this class, so that was a good start for them to get a player like that and starting to fill that need.
4-star offensive lineman Anthony Bradford of Michigan committed to LSU this week. Two things about that. One, Tony Barnhart mentioned that they're saying that this could be the best in-class recruiting class in LSU 10 to 15 years, and then you see where they're getting a 4-star lineman out of Michigan. How in the world does a 4-star player from Michigan end up going to Baton Rouge?
Yeah, that's not one you typically see. I think a couple things happened there. First of all, interesting recruitment in that usually you see Michigan State kind of battling it out for the top players in that state. You might see, Ohio State gets in there sometimes. In this case, it seemed like all along the top contenders were SEC schools. I think part of the reason for that was, he's got some family in Texas. Anthony Bradford does. He has some family in Louisiana. And I think the idea of playing for that type of program, getting down south with the warm weather, I think he was drawn to that. I think all that was interesting to him. And just finding out that some SEC schools really liked him, I think once he figured out that those doors were open for him, I think he just, unlike a lot of players up there, wanted to go south. So Alabama was high on his list. He also took an official visit to Tennessee last month and then took an official visit to LSU last month for their spring game. And it seemed like LSU was one of the teams one of the teams to beat once they hosted him on that visit, and the Tigers landed him. So a nice pickup, definitely not the type of thing you usually see. LSU doesn't usually have to venture too far from its campus to land good players. You know, like you said, a lot of talent in Louisiana. But definitely a nice job for them to address their needs on the offensive line pretty early by getting a player that's pretty far from home.
Early on, but still, Ole Miss has a top 10 class, number 10 to be exact, Matt Luke, head coach now. What have the Rebels done to get off to such a hot start, especially with the circumstances centering around why Matt Luke is even the head coach?
Yeah, I think you got to give his staff a lot of credit. They did a good job last year in a pretty tough situation. Still were able to get some recruits on campus last year, and obviously built some pretty good relationships that have paid off. And they've gotten some guys early, which is sometimes even harder to do. But I think it maybe shows you the difference between, say, where Florida and Tennessee are right now, not having a lot of commitments with new coaching staff because you are starting from scratch with relationships. What Matt Luke has accomplished at Ole Miss, I think, shows you sometimes the benefit of keeping a coach who was on staff before, because you do have that continuity that allows you to kind of hit the ground running the next year in recruiting. And they've gotten some early commitments this year. They've got a quarterback in their class, Grant Tisdale. It's a good player. They've made some nice pickups there. Now, I think as the year goes along, they're probably going to slip a bit in the rankings, but they've done a good job in-state so far this year. And we'll see where they end up finishing. But to be in the top 10 this early, I think it shows Matt Luke is very capable as a head coach of winning some pretty tough battles in the SEC and being a good recruiting head coach. And we'll see how that carries on onto the field. But I think he's done a good job so far, and they've got a chance to sign at least a top 15, top 20 class if they keep it up.
That would be something. And I don't know him, but he seems like a guy that I could root for. Seems like a good guy, and, yeah, you know, you really want to see him do well. South Carolina signed a top 20 class last year, coming off a really good season, considering where they were. How are the Gamecocks doing right now with the 2019 class? Have they been able to continue the momentum?
Yeah, I think they really have. I think you've got to be impressed by what they've done so far. They've got around a top 15 class, and honestly, they've got some nice players in there. And the thing about their class, you look at it, they're still in some big-time battles that really are going to determine just how good of a class it is. But they're really in on some big-time players. They've got a four-star quarterback, Ryan Helinski, from out in California that some other SEC schools were involved with, a four-star receiver from North Carolina, Trayvon Kenyon, I believe is how you pronounce that, from Monroe, North Carolina. So some nice players already in their class. And then you look at some guys like Zach Pickens, a five-star defensive end from South Carolina that they're involved with, Quavaris Crouch, a five-star athlete from North Carolina that they're battling Clemson and Tennessee for, some other good players out there like Savion Jackson, a top 50 player nationally, a defensive end from North Carolina. So the fact that they're in those battles and heavily in the mix for players like that, I think shows you that Will Muschamp and that staff have some traction in recruiting, and they've done a pretty good job of obviously exceeding expectations to this point on the field. And I think we're seeing the benefits of that now in recruiting. They're really throwing their hat in there in Georgia and North Carolina and actually having a chance at winning some of those battles now. And I think keep an eye on South Carolina. As long as Travaris Robinson and the rest of that staff are there, I think they're going to be factors in recruiting and win some big-time battles, and they're off to a pretty good start this year.
Georgia was the number one class last year. Alabama currently sitting at the number one spot in the rankings for the 2019 class. Really no surprise there. But how is Georgia following up, again, early on, but how is Georgia following up that number one ranked class for 2019?
Well, I think they're not number one right now. As you said, that's Alabama. But if you look at the quality of the players in Georgia's class, it's been just a continuation of what they did last year. I think they're really building on the success of having that national title game appearance this past season. And, a few five stars in their class right now, Jaden Hazelwood, Nolan Smith, Dominic Blaylock, those are all top 20 players nationally. Winning some big battles in state, obviously, which is nothing new for Georgia. And then you see them going into Memphis and getting a player like Bill Norton, a four-star defensive lineman from Christian Brothers, to be able to go out of state and win those types of battles in addition to what they already have to pick from in state. They're going to be tough to beat if they keep that up. So they don't have that many players in their class right now, but when you look at the quality, their average rating, it's very much in line with what they did last year with that really impressive number one class that was, you know, maybe the strongest class we've ever seen in the 24/7 sports era for sure. So to look at what they've done so far, they've kept it up, and we'll see where they end up. But just in their first eight commitments and the battles they're still in, not hard to envision them being right there in the mix for another number one class if they keep things up.
The Norton kid that you mentioned from Christian Brothers, a physical guy, from what I understand, which, you know, obviously that's something Kirby's big on, but a really, really physical guy. You know, he's a guy that will fit right into that system there and the way they play. That you're right. That was a big get for them.
That was, and he's a guy that could, you know, some people have projected him even as an offensive lineman, but a lot of people, I think, have finally been sold on him as a big-time defensive line prospect. So to go into Tennessee and win that battle and beat out Tennessee for him so far, you know, I think Tennessee and Alabama definitely haven't given up on Bill Norton, but that's one that, yeah, for Georgia to go into Memphis and win that one, I think it just shows you what Kirby Smart and that staff have done and shows you the power of you know, what they can do in recruiting now that they've got some success on the field to back up what they're doing.
Again, I mentioned you'll be on Big Orange Sunday tomorrow to talk Tennessee recruiting, but a little bit of Tennessee. They, speaking of tight ends from Georgia, they got a nice commitment from a tight end out of Georgia this week.
Yeah, Sean Brown just announced it last night, actually, about a little more than 12 hours ago, I guess, after his spring game. You know, just got on the microphone at his high school stadium and announced it right there. Tennessee beats out Auburn to land him. LSU and Ole Miss had just offered recently. So big pickup for Tennessee to land that second tight end in this class. They already had Jackson Lowe from Cartersville, Georgia, who's a four-star, and so now landing Sean Brown to go along with them. I think they feel they've got two of the top tight ends on their board and really address a major need. I don't think they have tight ends on their roster that, at least right now, that do a whole lot of the things they want to do in their offense. So to get a couple bigger guys that can block and be weapons in the passing game, I think they're pretty excited about those two pickups. And Sean Brown, definitely a nice addition to that class.
Well, he's definitely going to want to play with a tight end. So good to start loading those guys up, build a little depth there. So, Ryan, as always, great information, brother. We'll be talking to you tomorrow on Big Orange Sunday. Before you go, let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, check us out at govols247.com. Of course, for all the fans of other SEC teams out there, just check out 247sports.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at RyanCallahan247.
Talk to you in the morning, bud.
Thanks, Tate.
Ryan Callahan, govols247.com. Again, in my opinion, he's the best in the business. Somebody else best in the business, R.J. Young. Hunter McCarty joins us. Mr. McCarty, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. Happy Mother's Day weekend. And as we always, R.J. Young does so many things. The thing you all try to do is really be able to be a complete provider for everybody. Sometimes when we're looking at this, we kind of take network security for granted, and that's really something you don't want to do, and you all can help with that.
Well, that is true. What we find, most people don't think about this, but anything that hangs on your network, whether it be a copier or a printer or any device that's connected, leaves you vulnerable to cyber attacks or cyber attacks, as we call them. So we try to remind our customers that you've got to continue always to be monitoring your network, looking for those types of things. And what we also are concerned about, obviously, today is so many people are using mobile devices, so even an iPhone or any kind of tablet can also gain access to that network. So we just stress that. We encourage all the companies to provide protection and cybersecurity that fits the company's needs. And, of course, we can help companies in this area to reduce the risk, because in this case, an ounce of prevention is always worth a pound of cure.
Mr. McCarty, thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day weekend, and have a great weekend, okay?
All right, thank you. Good to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Hunter McCarty of RJ Young, rjyoung.com. That's it for today. Thanks to Tony Barnhart, Charles Davis, Alan Cockrell, Ryan Callahan. The coach will be back next week right here on Forklift System Sports Saturday. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Zone.
1045thezone.com has everything you need to keep up with 1045 The Zone. There you'll find on-air schedules, online contests, pages for all of our shows, information on how to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and so much more. Want to hear an interview you might have missed? Check out 1045thezone.com.